You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, no other announcements. We'll go to scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.
All right. Well, the hummingbirds seem to have disappeared from our feeders. We are very sad about that, but we are looking forward to their return. And we didn't have as many as the season before, but there were still quite a few that came. The season before, they were just going crazy around our house, doing their U trips and flying around and over the top. And man, and they were almost attacking us too. Not attacking us, but flying real close, you know. Really interesting birds. So they're gone. Means the winter's coming, and that season is upon us. And all the cold things, I don't mind a little bit of the cold. It's fresh, it's nice, and you can breathe easier. I don't know, since I've had that the COVID thing and damaged my lungs, the hot air doesn't quite satisfy as much. So once the cool air comes, it's denser and get a bit more satisfied in my breathing. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, and for the scriptures that have been preserved for us, for it to read, to understand, to find all these wonderful riches, and the fact that riches and honor are with wisdom. We thank thee for the great study that we've got in front of us, and we ask you to bless it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Last time we were looking at chapter 7, and there's some great things in here which are real practical things. I think a lot of families who have got children moving into adult and teenage years, really they need to get this in our society. I think there's some practical lessons to be learned from this thing about the master of the house and lessons about responsibility. And being careful to maintain a good deportment in our life, where we spend our time and where we go, and being careful to recognize our own personal weaknesses, which are there. We must be honest with ourselves before God about that. Now, today we're into chapter 8, and chapter 8 is a remarkable chapter. Why? Well, because it relates to issues to do with the Lord Jesus. It relates to issues to do with us and the wisdom that we need to look for, and also the fact of and reality of right division. And very important lessons here. So this particular chapter, going right across here to 36 verses, really great lessons here. And if you'll notice from chapter 8 verse 1 right across to chapter 9 and verse 12, you basically get this wisdom's call. So it's very strong about wisdom and her calling out. Remember the noun, which is not their noun, let's go back to it. On the bottom right there, kokma. It's a feminine noun. It's a feminine noun. And therefore, if you're going to personify wisdom, it has to be a she. Right? It has to. If you want to make wisdom into something that has personality, then you would have to refer to her. You see, it's got to be that way. So it's an interesting situation to know that matters to do with language appear in the Bible. And so down here, we can see how the passage going from chapter 8, verse 1 to 9, 12, wisdom's call, and then the alternation here going with the foolish woman, 9, 13 to 18. So it's a great passage of scripture which is quite large, and things in here which we need to take note of, I think. Look at verse 1. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" Now, the thing about this is that wisdom is calling out. And we as Christians, we need to hear that call. And all people, regardless if they're taking up positions of responsibility, especially, they need to hear wisdom's call. And understanding put forth her voice. Again, right? This comes back to the language. It's the noun here is feminine. And so if you're going to personify it, it must be a woman. It must be a feminine thing, object. And in the wisdom literature, this is typical. She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. In the places of the paths. There are meeting places where paths meet. And there, at these intersections, wisdom is calling out. But boy, you've got to have an ear for it. Right? You must have an ear for it. And you've got to seek wisdom early. That's the other thing that's going to come up in these passages. The one thing about wisdom that she calls, but you've got to have an ear for it, and you've got to be ready for it at the right and early season. Early on. And she crieth at the gates at the entry of the city. At the entry of the city. And because wisdom must accompany people who are going to live communally. If you're going to live communally, that's what a city is, right? That's a place where there are many people residing. Then you've got to have very good wisdom. Because people, unfortunately, are going to be slaves of someone, right? You're going to serve someone. There was a song come out like that, right? Bob Dylan. You've got to serve someone. And at the coming in at the doors. The coming in at the doors. Entry places to where people reside must have wisdom. If you're going to deal with people, must have wisdom. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man, O ye simple. Sebby and I, we kind of laugh when we read this. What is remarkable about this is that the Lord doesn't just categorize people and say, oh, that's a waste of time, let's just move on. No, he addresses them. He doesn't give up on them. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools. Isn't that remarkable? Don't you just find it interesting that God is prepared to categorize people as simple and as fools? But in categorizing them, he doesn't put the lid on them and say, well, that's a waste of time, I'm going to walk away from that group. No, he addresses them. Be ye of an understanding heart. Okay, so the simple, one of the problems with them is understanding wisdom. And the fools need an understanding heart. See, the problem with fools is they've got a heart problem primarily. Hear, for I will speak of, look at this, excellent things. Now you think about the calling that we have here and have come to understand, which is relates to right division and the supreme message that has come to us through the instrumentality of Paul the prisoner. And look what it says next. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. Isn't it interesting that you've got the word right and you've got things excellent? Right things, excellent things. Okay. Now, here, I've got a list from the New Testament, this word excellent. And it comes from considering the most important passage for us. So just hold your place here in Proverbs 8. Because I think this really does impinge heavily on what we have come to understand as being God's summit of wisdom that he has revealed. There's a manifold wisdom of God. And the summit of it is expressed to us through Paul the prisoner. And if you look at the book of Philippians in chapter 1, just look at this with me. It says this. It says this in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. These are the bowels. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now notice this. There is knowledge and there is judgment. And you notice the extreme place of wisdom in this. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent. And this word excellent relate to things that differ. Things that differ. And in fact, if you come down here to the Greek words here, te diaferonta, the things which differ. The things which differ. Okay. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere. Sincere, it means that you are clean after light shines on you. And without offense till the day of Christ. Right in here, there is a choice. If you just look. I've got a lot of verses up here. I won't go through them all. But just look where this word appears, which is the word mentioned in Philippians 1:10, things that differ. And knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent. You see, God doesn't simply reveal good things. He does. But it's not only that. He allows you to categorize things because he has. And he wants you to find things which he has categorized, and wants you to find the excellent things. There are excellent things in the scriptures. Things that he has offered, being instructed out of the law. 1 Corinthians 15:41, there is one glory of the sun, okay, and another glory of the moon. They're not the same glories. They're different. And another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. You are supposed to distinguish this. You're allowed to distinguish things that differ. You know, a lot of Christians, they get the wrong idea about ideas of morality, ideas of theology, ideas of whether it's right to judge, for example. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. How can that be? Because you make the right spiritual judgment. It is right and proper for a Christian to make spiritual judgments. You are supposed to do that. And at the very heart of the message that we offer to people as being the pinnacle of God's revelation in this age relates to you making spiritual discernment to discern things that differ. You go on, look at this in Galatians. It's right through Paul's writing. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Here brings out the definition. It makes no difference to me. It makes no difference to me. So there are certain things that are most distinctly different, and you are supposed to select the things which are excellent. And in other cases, in this particular case, he's showing something that has no difference. Right? Coming down here, it says in verse 1 of Galatians 4, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. Well, there's another case of where there's no difference. So there are some places where you're going to find God is going to categorize things as having differences, and you better adhere to it. And then other cases, there's going to be doctrinal issues where there's no difference. That you may approve things that are excellent. This is Philippians 1:10. Okay, cool. So, that's one thing. Now look at Proverbs chapter 8. It says this in that same portion of Scripture, in verse 6. Here, for I will speak of excellent things. Okay, what's the application for us today? Well, one major application for us today is that Paul has received excellent things, and we need to adhere to those excellent things. We are not supposed to be wishy-washy Christians who try to make no difference when God has made difference. When he's made difference, we better select the things which are excellent. And he goes on, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Right things. Yeah, they're right. And you need to operate on the principle of right things. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Right there. And it goes on, it says in verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Man, you know the problem with the Israeli conflict is that you have two groups of people there who both do not know Christ. And because they don't know Christ, there is no basis of a real lasting solution. You've got one group who've got some things, another group who's got some things, but there's no way of them both joining to the excellent thing because they don't know Christ. And that's the problem. And people are trying to find solution to the Palestinian question and so on and so forth. What they have missed is the spiritual dimension. Right? The spiritual dimension that's there. I've been watching a lot of stuff going on in the world today around this issue. And I don't hear a nice, clear proclamation of the solution, which is Jesus the Christ. That is the solution. Don't try and avoid it, because there's no other solution. Any other solution is tit for tat. You bomb me, you do something to me, and man, I'm going to hammer you back. Right? That's all there is. And then they'll get offended, and they'll wait for their chance to hammer back. And then there'll be a hammering back, and there'll be... That's all it's going to be. And these little children and someone else, they're going to be the meat and the grinder. You know? We know what the solution is, but it's not a popular message. And it's a message which has an offense to it. And Paul says about that offense, do not let that go. There is always going to be an offense to the preaching of the cross. It will be an offense. Don't try and water that down, because that's the solution. That's the solution. Isn't that amazing? That's happening right in the area where the Lord gave himself a sacrifice for all. And they're all walking past it. Literally walking past it. Very interesting to see this go on. And a shame. And so it says verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Beautiful wisdom. It says not the wisdom of Spock, you know. Not the wisdom of Spock. No. He hasn't got it. You know, he hasn't got the wisdom. Yeah. Something like that. Anyway. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. You see, there's some wisdom you'll find some politicians give, but unfortunately, it's not all. It's not all righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. Oh, isn't that beautiful wisdom? See, that's what we call cleaning house wisdom. There's nothing perverse in them. They're words. Wisdom comes out of the mouth of the Lord. You see? They are all plain to him that understandeth. Isn't that true? That's what our message is like for us, right? The message of right division, the giving of the mystery to Paul the prisoner. Clear and righteous and good and plain and right to them that find knowledge. But you got to find it. You got to dig for it. You got to look for it. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Choice gold. There's fool's gold. There's also gold of different standards, right? There's gold that of different densities. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Beautiful. We know it. Here's wisdom, man. Wisdom talking about wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now you can see these are clear metaphors, right? Does this mean that, you know, there's this person, wisdom, who's a real person, who dwells with another person called prudence? No, these are just simply truths, right? About facts of wisdom and understanding and circumspect application. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. Witty, sagacious. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There is such a thing as evil. There are people trying to say that there's no such thing as evil because of their relativism. Their doctrine of relativism. There is nothing good or bad. There's only things that you like. And that's good. Whatever you like is good. These are the idiots and fools that we have running our countries of the Western world. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Wow. You see that? There's certain kinds of hate which are good. Right? Certain types of hate. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. Yeah, that's right. That's justice. But unfortunately, there are kings, there are princes who do not do that because they do not seek out Lady Kokma. They do not look for wisdom. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Oh, I love them that love me. Oh, ho. So it looks like this is one distinguishing thing. Do you love wisdom? If you love wisdom, then wisdom will love you and will shine her bounty on you. And those that seek me, when? Early. Those that seek me early shall find me. Ah. The implication here is, if you don't seek early, there might be some problems seeking later. And I think this is what some people do. They thumb their nose at God, and then when turmoil comes, then they want God to come and bail them out. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now, I'm reading these because I'm coming to the portion of Scripture which I think is remarkable. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, this is definite application to the kings of Israel. Right? Remember, this is all about that. This is all about the kings and the princes and the people that were ruling under the law of Moses, and here is substance that will come to them. Verse 22, look at this. The Lord possessed me. The Lord possessed me. And here is this interesting Hebrew word, possessed. And I want to look at this. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Possessed me. Now that word, Hebrew word, is used in those places in the Bible. We're certainly not going to go through all those. We're not going to go through all those passages. But I want you to see from the context what possess would mean here. Because look what it says, verse 23. I want to know what possessed means. This is what I'm interested in. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. This is the metaphor of birth. See, he was, in this case, she was brought forth. She, Lady Wisdom, was brought forth. But that metaphor is the metaphor of a birth, which means a metaphor of pregnancy. So, she was brought forth in the metaphor of coming to age in the womb and then being brought forth. Now, before she was brought forth, did she exist? Well, of course. She existed in the womb. That's the metaphor, right? That's the metaphor. Now, you'll find various cults take verse 22 to say, well, wisdom is Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. And the Lord possessed me means the Lord created me. That is, the Lord created Jesus. And what they teach is that sometime in the past, God created Jesus to be his master workman, to create, do all his creating for him. And they say that Jesus is a created being, and they'll use this passage right here in Proverbs 8:22 to teach that Jesus, the wisdom of God, they say, was created. But if you ask the question, in context, what does this mean? Well, first of all, it's not Jesus, it's Lady Wisdom, it's Lady Kokma. And furthermore, since we've got a metaphor going, the metaphor is not one of creation, it's one of birth. She was brought forth. She was nurtured in the womb of God. That's the metaphor. The metaphor, right? She was nurtured in the womb of God for the specific creative work. God's wisdom. And we know that that wisdom comes out of the mouth of God. He spoke all things into being. Well, I've got a lot more to say about this. But it is interesting that the actual passage itself does not teach that Jesus was created. It does not even teach that wisdom was created. When was God without wisdom? Do you see the result of your foolishness to try and make that wisdom was created here? It would mean that God at some stage was without wisdom. And how could that possibly be? No. The metaphor here is bringing forth, as in a birth. Before birth, of course, wisdom existed. But the birth is like an implementation, and action now had to take place in the wisdom of creating the earth and the cosmos and everything else. Well, I'm out of time. I'm certainly not out of word, man. There's a lot here, and it's cool. Now, I couldn't read all of these verses, so what I'd do is I'd invite you to finish off reading this chapter because, man, it's a beautiful passage on wisdom, how important it is, and how it connects to the wisdom that was given to Paul, because to him was given this excellent wisdom. The most excellent wisdom that we must, as Christians, get. And we can take instruction that we need to call out too, right, about this. We need to let wisdom call. and let it do its work. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for chapter 8 of Proverbs and all the great teaching that's in here. And we thank Thee, our Father, that we have got a church fellowship to go to each Sunday to meet with and to converse and discuss things as a church body. We pray, Lord, for all those around the world who are suffering, Lord, and we pray that the missionaries and the people who know that the real solution is, which is in Christ, would preach that wonderful gospel, the great good news that would bring the peace that passeth all understanding. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.